Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Moltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
We have talked to some extraordinary people in the professional wrestling business. Some people who have made history, lived history. The Million Dollar Man, Bill Goldberg, Mick Foley,
yeah.
Jim Ross. Some people that have made their mark in the pro wrestling industry in a big, big way. And tonight, we get to talk to somebody who's making their way and making their name in the pro wrestling business right in front of us at an extremely high level. People who have listened to this show for, what, 3-4 years now,
right,
know that I'm not just saying this because he's here. He is one of my all-time favorite performers. I love me some Dolph Ziggler. I have loved me some Dolph Ziggler for years. Bill, I think I literally called you to scream on the phone when he pinned Del Rio that night.
Yes, you did.
I like took a video of the TV
there.
And like shared it like as if it was news. Like
yeah,
I put
right,
it on Facebook.
Right.
I'm like, did everybody see Dolph Ziggler win this title? So it is a extreme and genuine thrill to talk to someone who is, again, going to be known as one of the biggest names of their time. And, oh, by the way, is the WWE Intercontinental Champion. So the show-off will insert record scratch here because Dolph Ziggler joins the New Age Insiders. Dolph, thank you so much for taking the time. It is a thrill to have you on the show.
I don't think I could possibly follow that introduction.
Oh, it's.
But I'll try.
All right. Well, good night, everyone. That was the voice of the WWE Intercontinental Champion. Dolph, again, thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm just going to jump right in because I've got questions and I hope you've got answers because you're the show off. And again, thrilled to have you. But I got to admit, I wasn't thrilled the last time you had a big pay-per-view match because, in my opinion, the crowd was a bunch of dorks. So the setting is Extreme Rules. And kind of let me paint you a picture here, Dolph. You know, a picture that you...
I don't know if you were there.
It's a picture of you. But so I don't know if you know this, but Roman Reigns seems to be sort of polarizing. Some fans really like him and some fans don't. I don't know if that translates in the back, but that's how I think the general fan base is going. And so what WWE offered at Extreme Rules was a main event with Dolph Ziggler, one of the best performers alive, with Seth Rollins, one of the best performers alive, the Intercontinental Championship, which has got more attention than it has in God knows how long, right,
yep.
And is looking great. It's an Iron Man match, so we're all having a ton of fun. And was it Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yes.
Had to be a bunch of dinks and stare at a clock and count down and be distracting the whole time. So just my opening question is, what was it like to be in that building, part of that match, working with Seth Rollins, while the crowd was trying to put themselves over instead of investing in what you guys were doing?
It was a little disheartening. I mean, with WWE, first and foremost, though, like we say, like, you know, the ability of that crowd to do whatever they want is, you know, completely up to them. So we don't control them. And usually in that kind of environment, without some clock, and without some, you know, stipulations happening, I really like to take control and sometimes change my, you know, try and change their mind and work things around it. And I got to a point where we needed to be somewhere, and they were in the middle of a countdown, and I was trying to time it differently, and it just made the match worse. So in that way, it really bummed me out and put me off my game, and I tried to work around that clock. But in the same event, it's completely up to WWE if, Universe, if they want to boo Cena, they want to boo Reigns, cheer Cena, cheer Reigns, or count down the clock. That's their right to do. They paid for that ticket. I don't understand why you would want to pay to be somewhere, be very excited, according to the social media report that I was told by higher ups, that they didn't want Roman Reigns, the fans, didn't want Roman Reigns in the main event, and they got their wish. And now we know why you can't have nice things.
Oh, my God. We say that all the time. I love you. You are everything I needed you to be. What was the biggest adjustment that you and Rollins had to make? And what did you guys talk about after the match? You go to the back. You just busted your ass for over half an hour. You know, you put in that overtime spot and everything. What's the first thing you guys say to each other when you see each other, you know, backstage?
I forget, but we were both pretty frustrated with it because we wanted this to be something really special. We wanted, and then halfway through, and then once I got to the back, I started to realize, I go, maybe in this era, you know, this doesn't work anymore. I don't know, like this kind of match. But I was really bummed out. My performance was not as good as it could have been, and that robbed some fans who were trying to pay attention to it. So like that really bums me out because I want, of course, I go, we got a chance to have this spotlight and go, hey, this should be the match in the main event from here on out. And it, one way or another, it doesn't come through. So it really bums you out.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame when the match was fun.
It was awesome.
It was great. It was enjoyable. And for that crowd to act the way they did, it didn't seem fair to the performers in the ring. But you walked out of Extreme Rules as the Intercontinental Champion, and that isn't the only belt that you've had over the past few months. You were also the United States Champion at one point, and the last time you had that belt, you laid it in the ring and walked away. And so I just want to know, what's the deal with that? What was the reasoning behind leaving that belt and just kind of walking away? Was it to focus on the stand-up that we're going to be getting to later?
I'm excited about that.
No, first and foremost, no, because my favorite part, like I just turned 38. I don't like taking days off. I don't like missing shows. I like that when everyone goes home for 2 days, I can book 2 days of stand up or go to LA and work on a project with my brother or go film a movie or something. So I don't like missing work. So I love that I can fill all of my stand up appearances, you know, in between wrestling shows. And I don't like to sit at home. You know, to my knowledge, clearly things change. And to my knowledge, that was going to be something special. And it went from, you know, winning a title that I didn't think I deserved to be in that match even, but I was. And the match was great. Baron Corbin's really easy to work with. And Bobby Roode's a total pro, so that was really fun. But when we did that, we thought we were going somewhere bigger and somewhere more important, and we ended up not doing that.
Okay, because
as far as I could probably, yeah.
But there was a plan. Obviously, things can change at any time, but there was a plan more than just Dolph Ziggler leaves the U.S. title in the ring and says no thanks.
Yeah, and it could have been me going away permanently. It could have been me coming back and being champion or a couple champions. I mean, it could be anything. Just there was a plan, and we, you know, things change, and you know that just like, you know, that crowd. You know, we wanted to have that main event match, you know, be the best thing ever. And you know what? Plans change. So that's, you know, that's life. You deal with it. And I moved on from there. You know, it could have been something special and different, and it wasn't. So maybe one day down the line it will be.
Does it frustrate you ever that one crowd kind of gets to speak for the whole audience? Because what we experienced was Pittsburgh acted like a bunch of dorks, like we said, and focused on the clock and not you guys putting on an awesome match. But then the internet, when I saw online, a lot of the people were like, this crowd sucks. This is stupid. So Pittsburgh that night got to speak for a lot of people that disagreed with what they do. Extreme Rules aside, we can move on from Extreme Rules, but does it ever frustrate you sometimes going to a city and having one crowd kind of speak for everyone and, you know, change direction sometimes creatively?
I like that different crowds have different tastes and different flavors, and that's awesome, man. And by the way, when we're out there, no matter what the crowd, you know, we really are working for everyone else, and the crowd just gets to be there live. So, and like I said, on so 99.9% of any other occasion in a regular match, I can change something up and stop that crowd, or I go out of my way. I live for those moments where you have to adjust and do something different. And this just wasn't one of those times. And that's what bums me out. But I mean, every crowd is different. I mean, I went friggin' 4 years as a bad guy who lost every night, who didn't talk on the microphone. And I'd be in the ring with John Cena in New York or New Jersey or Boston, and they'd be blowing off the roof for me and booing him. So you take the good with the bad. Like, I always enjoyed, they respected or the guy, or they like to switch sides, or Canada likes to boo some guys and cheer others. That's the fun part of performing in live arenas. So you got to take the good with the bad.
So now, you talked about it earlier that before the match at Extreme Rules, you were the talk of the social medias. You are on the short list of, you know, quote unquote, internet darlings. What does it feel like to be on that list? And do you follow social media, and do you interact with the fan base in that way?
Here's what I think. I think I used to be a social media darling, and now I'm not one of those anymore. That's my guess. But in the old days when I was one, it was super not cool with the office to be one, but now it's super cool to be one. So times change, everything changes. I'm on social media all the time. Most of the time I'm reading news and trying to figure things out for some other appearance, like on Fox Business or something, because I just constantly want to read news and or book or something. But a huge part of what made kind of the grassroots beginning of Dolph Ziggler getting big fan responses was me doing Q&As and, giving back to people who had my back when they shouldn't have. So I love doing those Q&As and giving back to people and doing, meeting people at meet and greets at the shows and stuff and talking to them. That's one of my favorite parts of the business, is just meeting these people that back when I had not, I was presented as not too important, not doing anything that important, and still having audiences get behind me. I'll never forget that. There was like 2 years in a row where it just slowly got bigger and bigger, and it was unreal.
Even though it must be personally gratifying to get those kind of responses from the crowd and to be an internet darling, as you said, is it ever just flat out frustrating that you're getting these big responses, you're getting this big online reaction, seemingly using you at an even higher level would be a very popular decision? Does it ever just get almost maybe confusingly frustrating as to why that doesn't happen sometimes?
Oh, sure. I mean, but that, that's life, that's business, that's show business, that's every aspect of everything you can have. I mean, you could be a cashier at Walmart trying to be manager, and, maybe the manager's not as good as you, but he's in that spot and he's not going to lose it. You never know. For years, it was very frustrating. But that, if you want to be, the headliner, the main event, the franchise, and 45 other people on that roster are all trying to do that too. So that means 43 to 44 of them, including yourself, 99% of all the days will be frustrated because you're trying to get it. And then when you say you do win that big match or become, someone in that spot, holding on to it and trying to make it the best, sometimes even that is out of your hands. This whole business, just like show business, is constantly frustrating because you want to be better. You want to show what you have. And sometimes people are in that spot, and sometimes it has nothing to do with you, and sometimes it has everything to do with you. So you do everything you can. And I've had a million interviews in the past where I said, maybe I'm not ever going to be seen as a go-to champion in this business. So here's what I'll do. I'll be in the best shape of my life. I'll constantly go talk to the boss. I'll bring up different ways to make things better. I'll present my own storylines. I will not miss any work. I'll do anything they ask. When they want a media day, I'll take it, even though someone else is booked on it. And I'll just keep making myself better. And then in my 2 days off, I'll go do stand-up or be in a movie and make myself that much better when it comes to talking on the microphone, so that at the end of the day, whether they choose me or not, I did everything I can so I could sleep at night.
One of the questions I have for you, Dolph, is speaking of big crowds and big reactions, I think we've seen the world of wrestling and sports entertainment really change a lot over the last, 4, 5, 6 years or so. And one of those things that's definitely a brand new world for fans is NXT. And NXT is hugely well-received. The crowds seem to be very passionate, and the takeovers are really highly praised, especially online after they're over. And unfortunately, because people can't seem to just praise one thing without putting down another, oftentimes the train of thought goes, online goes, that takeover was amazing. Good luck tomorrow, WWE, because usually big takeovers precede big pay-per-views. What is the vibe like back there after these big NXT events when the internet is talking about them and going crazy and saying that NXT is so great and WWE better step it up? Do you guys talk about that? Do you personally reflect on that? Do you actively try to, quote, step it up, whatever that means? Because I think you guys go out there and try your best every night. But what's...
I don't try to... I have a mindset, since I step foot in the door, I don't step up anything. I go out there to do everything I can better than everyone else, and I go up there to live up to what I told myself I could do. So there's a bunch of people backstage who, even if we have a live event or something, will watch it, or they're friends, or they came from NXT. I was never really in the NXT. I was more of an FCW guy, so I don't pay too much attention to it. But I do hear everyone talk. I know a lot of people who, you know, call-ups who are just watching to see a friend of theirs or someone that they, you know, lost the title to, and they're on our roster. So a lot of people pay attention to it, you know, and look at what they're doing and different things. But I don't pay that much attention. So I don't go, oh man, I better be good at wrestling tomorrow. These guys were good. But if something's awesome and someone tells me about it, I go, oh, that's fantastic. I'll applaud it. There's too many people in the business, fans and wrestlers and, you know, Attitude Era Hall of Famers who tell us that we're all garbage now and those guys got it figured out and we don't know what we're doing. So I try and say everything positive. If something stands out and someone shows me a clip, I go, "Whoa, that's awesome." I'll, you know, be happy for them instead. I go, "Great. I hope they come to the main roster and, you know, force me to, you know, be in the ring and somehow be better than I am when they get here." But that doesn't always happen.
Dolph, thank you so much, because now I believe that at least one person in that locker room one time said, "I better go be good at wrestling tomorrow. Takeover was very good." I do. I believe at least one person said that now. Thank you. Now I'm going to try to figure out mentally the rest of this interview who that was.
So, Dolph, the reason why we have you on this show tonight is because in a couple of weeks, you're going to be at Laugh Boston, August 15th at Laugh Boston. You're going to be doing stand-up. We've mentioned it a couple of times. I'm really excited to see I'm excited to see you, but I'm also excited to see how this became a part of your entertainment repertoire.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's really cool because randomly, I mentioned that Boston is like a cool city for wrestling anyway. But I'm such a nerd growing up that I watched the old Saturday Night Lives when they were on Nick at Night for an hour, and I didn't even know what was funny and what wasn't, but I was laughing anyway. And I'm just someone who studied that my whole life, wanting to be like an entertainer one way or another. I want to be like a movie star, a comedian, a wrestler, and, you know, WWE kind of combines all those things, which makes it great. I've been studying, and I filled up these little notebooks that I have, maybe 40 or 50 of them over the last 10 years, just taking notes down and based on whatever's going in. You know, I would try and watch old Conan O'Brien episodes and listen to his setup for what was in the news today and try and beat him to a punchline. All of it is just about, you know, being a showman and being comfortable and having fun, and then every day writing. And I just, every single day before I talk to you guys, these are my 2 days off. If I don't have a show, I'll sit in my backyard and check the news and then go over some notes and work on my show that's in a couple of weeks.
Now, how has your comedic voice evolved since when you first started to right up until your next show?
Yeah, how has wrestling helped your comedy, and how has comedy helped you as a wrestler?
A huge factor is, I mean, the first show I ever did was in the back room of a coffee shop in LA, and there was 30 people in the crowd, and I had just, I want to say 2 weeks earlier, wrestled in front of 80,000 people in a tag match with Big E at WrestleMania, and I was laughing out there at WrestleMania, and now I'm walking up to the mic stand and my hands are shaking and I'm going, don't drop the mic, just get to this first line, right. And it was like, it was crazy. But then you get to a point where, like, after Boston, 2 nights later, we're having the show at Caroline in New York City, and I'm bringing a bunch of my wrestling friends to be part of this show to see if one or two of them want to try a couple of minutes of stand-up. And then I'll be, you know, comfortably walking around with a microphone just because of the handfuls of reps that I've gotten in. I know you don't get good just like wrestling. Like, it takes hundreds and thousands of matches to find your character, find what you're doing, get comfortable. I've done, you know, maybe 20 or 30 sets, and a lot of them are 3 or 4 minutes, and not knowing what the hell I'm doing and not getting those open mics where you can test out something over and over. I got to run it through, you know, past Zach Ryder in the car or in my backyard and listen to it back. And So you just get those reps and then you become comfortable to where I'm still nervous as hell because I've only done, you know, maybe 20 times a stand up, but at the show, you know, I'm kind of running it, putting it together, and I'm excited to go out there, you know, and be the comfortable one that's, you know, used all this time rewriting and, you know, have a couple of, you know, the 20 times of doing it to have it in the back of my head to feel comfortable. And that's the key, I think, in comedy and wrestling. Like I, except for that Ironman match, if you're in some of the matches, something goes wrong and someone gets hurt, someone like me, like I live for that. Like, ooh, I get to change this up or fix this to help someone out. And it's just, there's a reason I'm still in WWE is because I'm really good at that part. And that kind of improv skill have really come from doing improv shows with my brother in LA. And it's just, it all ties together.
Dolph, if you're ever in trouble up there, right, you're ever having a tough set, it's a tough crowd, maybe you forgot the joke, my advice is just cash in on Alberto Del Rio. It'll go over swimmingly. It'll just, the whole room will change. Right, just cash in on Raw, right? We were like, is Dolph Ziggler going to get a WrestleMania moment? No, he got maybe the Raw moment. So you got you. That one's all on you.
So now I have a comedy question for you because for a long time I was the tech director at Laugh Boston. I've seen a ton of stand-up shows. I've seen shows go well and I've seen shows go bad. But one thing that I always like to talk to stand-up comics about is what is the most insane fan interaction that you've had either before or after a stand-up set?
I mean, it depends. But before, like I said, I'm only in handfuls of sets. So beforehand, I'm pacing around and just running through everything I have and rewriting my notes and things. And people will come up. I've done a couple of different things at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, and fans are coming up, and I'm trying to hide, just, you know, run things through my head. And they'll come up and say different things, but nothing too crazy. I mean, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago to somebody. Someone had a packet of pictures, and I was like, okay, I'll sign them. And a couple of them were me walking around Phoenix, like going into a store from far away.
Ooh.
And it wasn't like, oh, I caught this and then, you know, saw you. Or there wasn't just one. It was like two different settings where this person was like, had taken pictures of me in the city and, you know, at home. And I was like, oh, okay, this is normal. And then played it cool and just signed it and then walked away. And I was like, how the hell? I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know their process. So I just walked away.
Yeah, that sounds like the beginning of some sort of Stephen King novel, and I think you're in danger. Dolph, you said that you don't watch a ton of NXT, and that's understandable, but I have a question for you. Is how do you think your WWE career, if at all, would be different if you had come up in a time with NXT? Obviously, a lot of the new signings and the developmental kids go through that system. What would that have been like for Dolph Ziggler, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, my guess would be, instead of showing up and shaking hands or like, I think I beat R-Truth in a count out or something. I think instead, maybe I would have shown up and, you know, and beat me. But I feel like I would have, you know, with that built in, you know, crowd knowing you and different things, it's a great question. I feel like I would have, maybe you go straight to a top. Maybe I would, you know, show up and beat somebody up or just show up and people would know who I am. That's a huge factor, I think, now where people, they follow so closely NXT because it's that major traveling brand that it is, and then you know them already, and that is such a huge difference than me shaking hands and going, who's this douchebag that, you know, what's the deal? And then, but you already know what the deal is. So, it's a great question. And maybe had I come in through NXT and came in and showed up and beat Cena, maybe I wouldn't work as hard as I do now. So maybe it'd be worse for everybody.
Sure. When I think of Dolph Ziggler, I think of a guy that, you know, I love watching your work. And I just think that whatever ceiling they want you to have is the ceiling that you can hit. I don't think there's anything that WWE can go, this is what we want Dolph Ziggler to do. That I just think you as a performer, you can handle it and do an outstanding job. And that's not just me saying nice things about you now. I say nice things about you all the time when you're not on the show. I'm sure you're listening, but you know, you weren't actually here on the phone.
Believe it or not, you know, other people don't always say nice things, but that's life, you know, and that's, you know, that's how you deal with it. I appreciate the compliment, and I appreciate a good comment, whether it is mean, hilarious, accurate or complimentary, as long as there's some detail that went into it. It's like, oh, I really watched you trip over your own feet when you went for that drop kick. Way to go, idiot. And I'm like, damn it, that guy saw me do that. Or if someone says, hey, that was really great the way, you know, at that elimination chamber, someone put you through one of the doors early and you had to recant the entire match to different people on the fly. And you go, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So it's all different.
The best thing that Titus did was be like, you're damn right I slipped under the ring. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? Pretend it didn't happen? You know what I mean? And now it's awesome. And he knows it's awesome.
Right,
and now
yeah.
we all get to talk about it. It's terrific.
Exactly. And it, and I think he was in like six segments of Raw the next day or SmackDown or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, accidents happen. I mean, I just, you know, a lot of time I filled in and I'm trying to think. Sheamus was going to fight maybe Del Rio for the world title in New Jersey or something. I want to, you know, six years ago, something. And maybe Del Rio got hurt or somebody was out. And I filled in last minute. And because of that, I had a world title match. We started the show. The place was hotter than hell. And we beat the hell out of each other because Sheamus and I always do that, which is great.
Yep.
And it was just, and it showed one way or another, whether you pull the trigger on or not, it showed the people backstage like, oh, this guy could be fighting for the world title even when he's not supposed to. Wow, that's awesome.
Right.
And you just, you know, you keep adding those up, and you never know. Sometimes they come through, and worst case scenario, you leave knowing that you did everything you could.
I'd also like to think that God just really likes Titus O'Neil because he seems like a really good human being, and that maybe he, like God, put a banana peel on the ground so Titus O'Neil could slip right into fame and get like
so
five.
Everyone could talk about him, and it's, here we are months later talking about him. I think that's fantastic, and if that draws more people to his Instagram account while he's giving PlayStations to kids, you know, in his neighborhood. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he seems like a tremendous human being. And so God was like, you're going to slip into fame. Don't worry, you'll be fine. But now you're going to get 10 times as much TV time. I just think that's how the universe works, Dolph.
And by the way, had he been a little bit, the trajectory been slightly different, he could have been very, very injured.
Or if you had the LED panel. Yeah, if you guys had that normal LED panel, he would have been in a lot of trouble, and it wouldn't have been funny at all.
But also, right underneath that curtain where he slid underneath is nothing but welded steel together. Like, that could have been bad, but he was safe, and we're all like, wait, he's okay, right? Yes, and then I went, okay, now it's funny.
Right, yeah,
and
no.
That's scary.
Absolutely. So you said that you don't watch, like you said, you don't watch a ton of NXT, but the world of wrestling is really starting to grow around us, and a lot of former WWE superstars have kind of gone elsewhere in the world of wrestling. How much wrestling do you pay attention to? Does the locker room talk about? Just, is it strictly WWE? Are you guys still, you know, as dumb as this question might sound, are you guys still wrestling fans? Do you watch the other stuff, or you just sort of live in your own world because you're on the road so much? What is Dolph Ziggler's relationship with wrestling?
I want to say the locker room, for the most part, are wrestling fans. And I've been around a long time. And I'm, I'm not saying by a million miles I'm the only person with other things going on, but I have a million other things going on. So if I'm not wrestling and the show hasn't started, I'm probably not watching a tape of some Japanese wrestling or something else. I'm probably watching Fox or CNN or scrolling through my Twitter feed to see what happened in the news today so I can use that, you know, when I go on Fox or something. But for the most part, I mean... I'll watch the show that I'm on, the live event. I'll watch it all the way through, you know, to wherever I'm on. Even if it's four nights in a row, the same card, doesn't matter. Because I like wrestling and I love it. And I'll watch, you know, I'm at Raw, waiting to do my thing. I'll watch that entire show. But I, for the most part, I think I'm one of the few who, you know, don't go out of their way to watch other wrestling. I think for the most part, everyone else pretty much does.
All right. Dolph, I'm going to give you an opportunity now. I'm just going to leave it open-ended because I think he's awesome. And I think a lot of people do. I'm going to give you an open-ended opportunity to say nice things about Drew McIntyre. You guys are working together now. It's been a big part of his return has been directly associated with being with Dolph Ziggler. What's that like? What do you think of Drew, and what's it like to work with him?
I think it's great. You know, I've been paired with people before, you know, that I barely nodded to when I walked in the hallway, and then it was all of a sudden, hey, go make out with this person and you're traveling with them and they're going to be a part, you know, of your character for the next 6 months. And you're like, okay. But with Drew, he's someone that, you know, I knew when he was here his first time, and we were pretty friendly. We hung out a handful of times, but not too close or anything, but you know, we both wanted to be good. And him, he was so young. I forget. He was really, really, really young when he was here the first time. So when he came back, I've never seen, I, I've seen focused people. I've seen people get injured and come back. I've seen people get fired and come back. But he is so damn focused on being the best. It's amazing. And so far, we've gone out of our way to make him look like this crazy psycho that's going to roll through everybody one day down the line, and still is now. But he is so focused on being great. My favorite thing to do is, I didn't mean to, is one time in a promo backstage, called him a psycho. And I mean it, like, in the best possible way, that he's this Terminator, and I'm basically Linda Hamilton next to him, but he's this Terminator, and he's going to start, you know, bombarding through people. Hopefully it is not for a very long time, because I would love to build up more and more camaraderie. And then, you know, a year or two down the line, we can actually have something very meaningful to where people can't wait to see the two of us. And then at some point, you know, I'm slapping him around and telling him that I'm calling the shots, and one day he hits me and the place goes crazy. Hopefully that is the case. But for now, man, he's in a great position. He's awesome at what he does. He is laser focused on being great, and I love that.
He's massive. He makes, like, I always say is, if somebody in the ring looks big, they're huge, because everybody in WWE is big, and Drew McIntyre looks massive. Do you ever just stand next to that guy and be like, are you Groot or something? I mean, that dude is gigantic, no?
Yeah, I am constantly making jokes, like, because we'll have to do something, we're filming backstage, and we'll look at it, and I look so hilariously short next to him that I go, hey, man, we gotta move this around a little bit. I can't look like your child that's accompanying you to the ring. Yeah. You know, and I'm 6 feet tall. He's gigantic. And, he's got everything ready to go. Like, yeah, I get used to stuff. I get used to seeing Kane and Great Khali and Undertaker. And then people in an airport are like, whoa, who the hell are these guys? And you forget that, you know, some people are 6'6" standing next to you, and that's a big deal.
Do me a favor. You don't even have to give us credit, although it'd be awesome if you did. This Halloween, will you two please cosplay as Braun Strowman and Nicholas?
I would love to do that. We'll put it in the maybe pile.
That's a no. That's a no from Dolph Ziggler. That's a hard no from Dolph Ziggler, I can tell. The Intercontinental Champion lied to me today. Dolph, I got two more questions for you. Won't keep you much longer. I could just talk wrestling with you all day. But WWE has made some awesome history recently over the past few years, really. But none more recently than when they announced Evolution, the first ever WWE-only, women's-only pay-per-view. What are your thoughts on Evolution and the women that you have as your colleagues, and, you know, just the fact that these women are getting their opportunity to shine more than ever?
I think it's awesome. And not even like say it's awesome and turn around and go, oh man, there goes my time. I think it's fantastic because I've also been here for, you know, 10 years ago when sometimes throughout an entire Raw, there wouldn't be a girls match or none of the women were even featured, or someone was a valet or something. And then I watched slowly, as you know, they would, you know, be fighting hard to get a segment or two here and there, and then the internet had a lot to do with, you know, calling it out and saying, hey man, we want some time, and if they didn't back it up, they would take it right away. But they clearly backed it up then. They've only gotten better, and having better women wrestlers wrestling each other, that's just making them better. So of course, I mean, that's awesome that they have it. Hopefully it becomes an annual thing, or maybe they get their own show or anything. Like, it could go anywhere. And if they didn't deserve it, I'd be like, I don't know, you know, we'll see what happens. But from my opinion, and I'm a pretty bitter guy who's seen it all, is I applaud it. I think it's fantastic, and I'm sure the show's going to be great, and I'm sure whoever's involved will tear it down. And then you can, you know, next time I come on here, you can be like, well, did you watch, you know, that women's show and think you got to step it up at Raw on Monday? And I'll go, yeah, I might have to.
So two things. One, you just agreed to be on again, whether you like it or not. We're going to keep that audio. So you agreed to be on the show again. Thank you very much. And second of all, yeah, because the women, every time WWE, and this is no PR BS, which should be some sort of acronym on the internet, and I can't believe it isn't, but this is not PR, this isn't spin. Every time the women have been given that, like, this is the first one match, it's been great. That first Hell in a Cell, the first Extreme Rules, the first Royal Rumble, they have done an outstanding job. So there's really no reason for me to believe that you put them all together and they're not going to put on an awesome show. You know what I mean? Especially when they know how big a deal this is. And I bet you they all get together in the back and go, tomorrow we should be good pro wrestlers. You know what I mean? Because that's
how, everybody, are we all in agreement? Let's be good pro wrestlers. Got
everybody
okay,
hands
in.
Right. And break. Dolph, my last question before. We've already been to laughboston.com and got our tickets to see you on August 15th, and we really are super excited to see you there. But before we let you go and tell everybody to get to laughboston.com and buy your tickets to see Dolph Ziggler August 15th, my question for you is, I'm going to give you a question and then an opportunity to make a statement. So what are your goals in WWE and as the Intercontinental Champion? You're the Intercontinental Champion now. What does that mean to you? You become this, you hold this title. What does that mean? What do you want to do with that championship? How do you want to be remembered as an Intercontinental Champion? And what are your remaining goals in WWE? Because you're in great shape. You're putting on awesome matches. You've got a long way to go if you want it. So what's left for Dolph Ziggler?
It's interesting because I've gotten to a point, I want to say I'm going on 13 years now, to where winning a title is a huge deal to me. But I also know that, you know, down the line, I could be crushing it. I could be, you know, embarrassing the company. But sometimes that has nothing to do with losing the title or whatever happens next. Or say I hold this title for 1,000 days in a row. It sometimes has to do with me being great at wrestling, and sometimes doesn't. So my goal is the fact that this trust again has been placed in me. And a lot of times on our live events and Monday Night Raw, this is the premier singles title on the show, which makes it slightly bigger deal than it usually is, makes it more fun for me. That means that gives me a chance to headline more live events like I've been doing the last couple months, whether it's, you know, been tagging with Drew McIntyre, or, you know, fighting Seth Rollins in the main event of the show for the title. It makes it so much more fun for me, knowing, you know, it's such a big deal. But I have won titles and I have won different things. And there's no way for me, like, well, what I'd like to do, you know, is win for 1,000 days in a row and then do this. Like, I take everything I can and then try and take one more pull from it before it's ripped out of my hand. And that's the only way to live in any kind of show business or this business. Because, you know, some people are just like, oh my God, what's, you know, some people are already complaining that they're bored to me in QA with me fighting Seth Rollins again. I go, I promise we'll do something special. You know, we're going to beat the hell out of each other. And it's SummerSlam. It's a big deal. This title's on the line. You can either be mad or you can be sad or you can go, okay, here's the card. Let me find a way to have fun, or me to go out there and I'm going to find a way that no match can follow this piece of, you know, that I'm in. And so every day you do that. Now on my off days, I'm doing other stuff. I'm reading, I'm writing, I'm working on other things. But when it comes down to, I've been thinking about this SummerSlam match for a little bit now, probably since the night after the Iron Man match, where I go, how can I make this awesome? How can I blow the roof off? How can I have everyone walking out of there saying nothing can top that match? Because that's how I live every single day, and that's the only way for me.
Dolph, you're pretty active on Twitter. You definitely, like you said, you don't mind engaging, and you don't mind even a good rib if it's funny and at your expense. But this show, believe it or not, is downloaded in about 15 countries a week. We have fans in 6 continents. So I'm going to ask 2 things. One, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak to those fans, to talk to the internet without a character limit, and just what's a general statement that you want the WWE universe to hear from Dolph Ziggler? And second, as the Intercontinental Champion, will you tell Antarctica to get off their ass and download our show so we can say it's all 7 continents? Your thoughts.
Wow, I'd love to go to Antarctica. Maybe if they got your show, I would make a trip out there, maybe do a stand-up show. But most importantly,
we're recording the whole thing, man. We're recording this.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, and most importantly, I live to outdo myself. I live to make myself better. Like I said, before you guys called, I was in my backyard crossing out notes and rewriting things because I want this next venture I do, whether it be 1,000 days in a row as Intercontinental Champion or lose it tomorrow, to be the best thing that I've done to date. And then when it comes to doing stand-up, I want everyone to know that everything I do in that ring, the way I bust my ass, the way I do it behind the scenes, the way I hit the gym, I do the exact same thing going into a stand-up show. So whether you love me or you hate me, you can come and show and root for me to do bad, root for me to do poorly. I'm going to do everything I can to make that great, make the experience great, and make it worth everybody's worthwhile. And anytime I'm doing an interview talking about our live events, I say I'm worth the price of admission alone, no matter who my opponent is. And I mean that just the same when I talk about my stand-up show.
August 15th, laughboston.com. The New Age Insiders are going to be there. Dolph Ziggler is going to be there. Why wouldn't you be there? August 15th, one more time, laughboston.com. See Night with Dolph Ziggler. We are super excited to see you out there. Dolph, you are one of the best performers of your time. You are one of the greatest intercontinental champions of all time. You know I mean that because I say it when you're not on the show. And we are thrilled to have you on. You're welcome here anytime. You also, I want to thank you so much for promising to be the intercontinental champion, traveling to Antarctica, downloading our show, and then I think becoming perhaps the ultimate intercontinental champion. And we'll give you, I don't know what we could possibly do to compensate, but another spot on the show. That's not actual compensation for you, but we'll figure
maybe
it out.
Maybe that or like free Chipotle or something. Or you know what? Just take me out to Kowloon.
Ooh, deal. We would love. Again, we're recording the whole thing. And now Dolph Ziggler is going to go into Antarctica, come back on the show, and we're going to have chicken wings with Andy Wong at the Kowloon because we love that place. That is a done deal. Dolph Ziggler, the Intercontinental Champion, again, appearing August 15th at Laugh Boston. Thank you so much for calling the New Age Insiders. We could have talked to you all day. We'll let you go back to doing amazing things and being an incredible, well-rounded performer and being one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions in WWE history. Again, thank you so much to Dolph Ziggler for joining the New Age Insiders live.
You got it. Take it easy, guys.
My favorite part of talking to people is when you like them going in and you like them even more. Like, yeah. Bill Goldberg, Jim Ross, I thought I liked them to, like, the ceiling of how much I could like them, and then you get to talk to them, and it's like, nope, there's a whole other layer I didn't even know about.
Yeah, there's an attic we can like them in.
Yeah, and Dolph Ziggler is just now maybe top of that list, because it's just, I mean, self-aware, honest, funny, I mean, just... everything, you get... I'll be honest with you. You get nervous when you schedule these interviews. You don't know... who they are, you don't know how magnetic they're going to be, how receptive they're
going to
be.
Especially when you're talking in the world of entertainment, where you're talking to a personality,
right?
And so it's like, you know, we have gotten to know Dolph Ziggler on TV, but we don't know Nick Nemeth.
Right?
And so, you know, it was nice.
He was an awesome guy. Like I said, it's not lip service. I've said this for years now. He's one of the best intercontinental champions ever. He sincerely is. He is one of the biggest names of his era today in the world of pro wrestling. And it was just an awesome opportunity to talk to the Intercontinental Champion, which we will take any time. If this is your first time joining us in the New Age Insiders, we know Dolph retweeted some links. And if it's your first time, welcome, by the way. My name is Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. We are the 2018 Wrestling Radio Awards live show of the year. We are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock right here on NewAgeInsiders.com, Mixler, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Make sure you follow along on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We've had some of the biggest stars in pro wrestling on this very show, including the current Intercontinental Champion this evening. So we definitely hope that you'll check us out at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI on all forms of social media platforms. You can check this interview if you're listening live. It will be available on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play as of the morning.
All of the
things. And we really hope you guys enjoy and jump into this experience. Again, if you're new, we're headed to All In coming up in just about a month. We really do try to drive a fan-driven conversation, filter out some of the negative parts, and talk to wrestling fans that actually love pro wrestling every single week, and it makes it even easier to love pro wrestling when awesome people like Dolph Ziggler give us a call.
And if you tuned in right at the end, there's more.
There is more.
Because right after this...
We have a Patreon episode.
We have a Patreon-exclusive weekly episode.
Absolutely. There's five every single month. There's actually rewards every single day. If you go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, NewAgeInsiders.com has everything to be able to listen live, subscribe, get the Patreon. If you want a shirt, they're up there too, and they're really awesome. Make sure you check out NewAgeInsiders.com. That's going to do it for us this week. We are so thrilled to talk to Dolph Ziggler. There's nothing we could do to top talking to the Intercontinental Champion, so we are not even going to try.
Yeah.
But there's plenty more from the New Age Insiders on Patreon. We're going to be talking about Brock Lesnar, his championship reign. Will he remain connected to Paul Heyman throughout his WWE run? Roman Reigns' reactions. All sorts of things. Are the NXT hopefuls translating onto the main roster? All sorts of fun stuff coming on Patreon.com. Make sure you guys subscribe to NewAgeInsiders.com today. Huge shout out and thanks to the Intercontinental Champion Dolph Ziggler. Make sure you check him out August 15th at Laugh Boston. We will see you guys there, and we greatly appreciate you making the New Age Insiders the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. We out.